I don't want to be fed into a wood chipper.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday. What the hell is today? October the 19th, 2017. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and, you know, working with people who don't actually understand that you need rules around email servers because being an open relay is bad. So anyways, tonight, I'm Morps, and tonight I have... Tonight I have a beer barrel bourbon. It's by the same company that does bourbon barrel, or not bourbon barrel, it does Dragon's Milk, the super dark beer we did at Gen Con.
Yes.
They actually age their bourbon in the beer barrels after they put the beer, it was bourbon barrels, they aged the beer in it, then they put the bourbon back in it and aged that in it. It tastes nice. Anyways, who else we've got in the channel? Tonight we have BSV.
Hello.
What are you drinking, BSV?
Oh, I was upgrading to but had a half a bottle of Coke left, so rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke? Oh, okay. I thought about doing a redneck screwdriver, but I decided I wanted the bourbon better.
That vodka and Tang?
No, but that sounds funny, too. No, I was thinking orange juice and moonshine. So, Fox, what are you drinking?
Gin and tonic.
Classy. Very classy. And finally, we have Madman. Madman is, in fact, drinking the Kool-Aid and or whatever it was. Tang and vodka.
Tang and vodka. You don't mix the Tang first. You just take the powdered Tang, put it directly into the vodka bottle, and then shake the bottle up. That's how you make the screwdriver.
Awesome. Oh, we're going to have to try that on a camping trip at some point. Anyways, because I want to get somebody drunk enough to fall into a campfire. I mean,
And now you have proof of that.
And that's called evidence. Damn it! anyways. Like it wouldn't be on camera.
No, you just have to get them to say, hold my beer, this is going to be awesome first. That's like the universal disclaimer of, I did this of my own volition, I'm retarded.
And just dub it in.
Well, you know. Actually, what will happen is you mix it up, try it once, and spit it out. It's like, God, that's awful. Then you hand it to Madman because he thinks it's sacrilege to waste alcohol, so he will drink it.
You can fucking throw that shit away. I mean, it'd be like the cheeseburger... The cheese whiz burger experiment.
I don't think I want to know.
We did throw that away.
I have the fear.
It was bad. It was a good idea, and you'd think it would have worked, but it didn't.
Can you elaborate?
Well, we wanted to make burgers with bits of cheese in them.
Oh, God.
So, but the only thing I had at the time was Cheese Whiz. Oh, we injected the Cheese Whiz into the burger and threw it on the grill. Well, mostly it just made the burger taste terrible.
Not surprised, you know, melting rubber inside of a burger.
Yeah. You didn't get a hot pocket of cheese in there. You got just, like, a grease pocket of nasty.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was not good. They went in the trash. Anyways, God, that was a long time ago now. Anyways, where was I? Right, lead story. This is actually from the Zionist-controlled Vice News. I don't have the sound clip loaded, so I'm just going to say it. Suave was so happy when he sent me that YouTube clip because it was so funny. And then we cut it up and played it to death. So, but. So this one's from Motherboard. IRS cybercrime agents are lurking in dark web subreddit looking for hackers. Why wouldn't they?
Are the hackers actually in Reddit?
Of course they are.
I just figured They were all making fun of the people in Reddit pretending to be hackers.
Admittedly, part of the reason I had the story is because I misread the headline, and I thought it was talking about how there was a, you know, a dark net Reddit, which I know that there is. At least there's like two copies of Reddit on Tor, and both of them are lousy. At least the two I found. There's probably a lot more than that. This is more that they were just hanging out on the regular Reddit, looking for. They're on the subreddit Darknet Markets. I don't know why they're surprised. It's like people who are surprised when they like get arrested after they brag about robbing a convenience store on Facebook. So here's the article. For years, buyers and sellers of illicit goods on the dark web.
Thank you, Thigh Master.
That is not the right sound clip.
You really need to label these.
I do.
And why are people buying Thigh Masters on the dark web?
They're a hot product. You can't get them anymore. It's like they make them.
You need someone to help you masturbate with
Gold Susan
Sarandon.
The 80s called one of the exercise equipment back.
Yeah.
Or Silly Struthers or whatever the hell you see on there.
Let's try this again. For years, buyers and sellers of illicit goods on the dark web have often turned to Reddit to discuss the latest developments in the internet's underground. It's only natural then that internet cops would follow the criminals. So, I'm not going to do that too much because it'll get stupid quick. On Tuesday, a hacker that goes by the name InsanityDRM posted on the subreddit, dedicated the Tor Hidden Service Marketplace trade route, that to announce that he had obtained personal information of a rival hacker named Fish Kings, a practice known as doxing. Dun, dun, dun. Shortly after that, the Internal Revenue Service cybercrime agent contacted him in private inquiring about the docs, according to the screenshot obtained by Motherboard. So the first guy actually took a screenshot of somebody whose email address ends in cl.irs.gov saying, hey, can you suit me the information on that guy? It's like the IRS is like, ooh, you're doxing people? Can we have it? Earlier this year, Motherboard revealed that the IRS paid a cybersecurity firm to scour the dark web. Now it seems IRS-owned agents are doing the scouring. It's not the dark web. It's just fucking Reddit. Come on. In this case, he identified himself on Reddit as an IRS special agent. The Reddit username associated with the agent does not have any public posts on Reddit, but it uses the website's messaging system. Reached via email, the agent, who has investigated crimes on the dark web and involved in cryptocurrency, declined to comment, requesting that Motherboard not reveal his identity. Motherboard independently confirmed that the Reddit account and email address in the screenshot belonged to the agent. An IRS spokesperson did not immediately respond. How do you know this person was really an IRS agent? How do you know they weren't just somebody, you know, pretending to be online?
On the internet, like, nobody knows you're a dog.
Yeah, well, I mean, seriously. If you could make an email address that looked fairly legit or make a user account that looked, like, really legit and you got the lingo down and you set it up right, I mean, you could message people like, hey, yeah, I'm with the IRS and we think the person you're doxing like owes us $1 million in back taxes. Can you send me that information? I bet half of them would send it to you. I don't know what you could do with it, but I mean, you know, at that point, I guess it just depends on how much you don't like the person who got doxed. But the IRS has been investigating dark web crimes for a while. I don't know why the IRS is doing that, not the FBI. Earlier this year, the agency investigated a case of a man that was arrested and sentenced for advertising money laundering services on an Onion site, as well as the case of a man who conspired to sell heroin on the marketplace Alpha Bay, which was shut down last summer. So, anyways, in the screenshot, it's nothing more than the title of the message is Law Enforcement Inquiry. So you're messaging somebody who claims to be a hacker on a dark net subreddit, you know, talking about doxing people with the subject line Law Enforcement Inquiry. I'm pretty sure that's going to get most people to just shut down that account and never come back. let's see. Hi, this is Special Agent Blank. What is your Jabber contact info? And he replies with, so obviously it's only part of a conversation. So you can catch me at blank. My bad, that's a different blank. I forgot the password to the other one and made it as a throwaway. Blank, I just messaged you. If you want, you can email me at blank, and it's an IRS.gov account. Didn't get the message or contact request. What Jabber service are you using? So fairly innocuous, just two people trying to sync up their username so they can actually talk to each other. But, yeah, it's just like, you know, Motherboard's got this big article like, the IRS is monitoring the internet. Gee, you don't say. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone is.
Other breaking news: water is wet and the sky is blue.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, okay, seriously, is anybody surprised?
No.
But the reason the IRS is involved and not just the FBI is black market generally doesn't pay taxes on their profit. So it's a really, really big bust to get some cash. Because how many drug dealers file, "Hi, I sold $400 million worth of heroin last year, and I cleared $120 million. Please tax me on it."
The really smart ones who are smart enough not to write down that it was heroin on their forms, but something else, because that way they can justify the income and not get chased by the government?
Yep.
I believe that's called integrating.
A coin-operated laundry facility made that much money last year. But yeah, it's integrating when we're discussing money laundering.
So, yeah, the smart ones do, but you're right. The small-time operators who don't know what they're doing, or people who are just totally operating on the dark, don't. I guess if they're not even bothering trying to keep a straight name.
Wondering how many people would respond to that, because I'm kind of with you. If somebody says, "Hey, I'm with the IRS," I'm like, "Sweet, I'm never going to use this handle again." I meant, yeah, how can I help you fuck somebody else over? Please leave me alone, sir.
Anyway, that's fantastic, Fox. Oh, that's got to go in the IRC. Was that in the IRC? I don't know why he's got pictures of my users.
Your users. They're also mine.
You walk in, it's like, how do you know anything on that? It's like, oh yeah, no, the Cisco
our company website, it's right at the tip of the penis.
You beat me to it. Like, yeah, my jabber link's on the third ball there. So it's like, wait, what? So anyways, it's like, there's no arrange my penis. Oh, I haven't watched those shorts in a long time. They went back and tried to make more afterwards, and they just weren't as funny as the original.
Last one I saw, they had like video footage of him like talking to Indian tech support, and like, imagine you had to hold your hard drive like a sandwich. That one was
pretty
funny.
No, that's not it. The last one I saw was the sales dude was calling, the tech guy, because he was going to start his own IT consultancy, and it was like him trying to video Skype and like tripping over shit and getting attacked by women in the street and stuff.
Huh.
So
yeah, it's been ages since I've been back to the website's town.
Yeah, it's just it really went downhill. Like, the first one was great, the second one was okay, and then from there it just got kind of like they were trying too hard.
Bummer.
Cycros, I know many companies that still call it Jabber, usually because they've bought it from Cisco and Cisco sells it as Jabber. So that word just won't go away. You're right, it's totally XMPP. Though, which Cisco would publish their extension so you could use other clients and still make voice calls, but anyways. Oh yeah, they sell them. They still market it as Jabber. It's integrated into I forget what those servers are called. Expedius? No, Expedius is a fax system. That's not even a Cisco product. Fuck. I can't think what it's called. It's been a long day at work, dude. It's just the names aren't coming. Expressway. Expressway servers. Anyways, so Psychro sent me this article on Reddit, and in his time talking to IRS, in between his busy time talking to IRS agents and docking people, So this is from Ars Technica. Computer virus hits U.S. Predator and Reaper drone fleet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's not good.
That's why not... you're not allowed to play Warcraft on your terminal when bombing people in Iraq.
Hey, woohoo! I leveled up. Oh, wait, that wasn't a game.
Wasn't it the
premise
of
toys? Why did I
still
get the flash of light out of my...
Yes.
I don't get it. Anyways, a computer virus has infected the cockpits of America's Predator and Reaper drones, logging pilots every keystroke as they remotely fly missions over Afghanistan and other war zones. The virus, first detected nearly 2 years ago by the military's host-based security system. Is that really what it's called? I've got a link. Yeah, it's some in-house host-based security system. Okay. Has not prevented pilots at the Creech Air Force Base in Nevada from flying their missions overseas, nor have there been any...
Nevada.
Whatever.
Sorry.
So, at the Creech Air Force Base in Nevada from flying their missions overseas, nor have there been... Now, I just pissed off everybody who lives in the Southwest. nor have there been any confirmed incidents or classified information being lost or sent to an outside source. How can you tell if it's a virus? But the virus has resisted multiple efforts to remove it from the Creech's computers. Network security specialists say the virus has resisted. It's what's it doing? Sitting there going, come on.
No, it's probably that asshole with a flash drive walking around, and like every time he comes on shift, plugs his flash drive in, loads Warcraft from that. It's fucking virus.
You're probably spot on. So, network specialists say, and the infection underscores the ongoing security risks and what has become the U.S. military's most important weapon system. We keep wiping it off, and it keeps coming back, says a source familiar with the network infection. One of three that told Danger Room about the virus. We think it's benign, but we just don't know. What?
It's benign now. It's waiting for someone to plug the flash drive into the nuclear controls.
Yeah.
It wants javelins. No, wait a minute. Tomahawk. No, tridents. I'm sorry. It wants trident missiles, not predator drones.
Well, when I combine this article with the next one, you're going to love it. Military network specialists or security specialists aren't sure whether the virus and its so-called keylogger payload were introduced intentionally or by accident. It may be a common piece of malware that just happened to make its way onto the sensitive networks. So go buy a couple of antiviruses and just scan one of these machines. I get they're government machines, but come on.
Go
it's
download
not that
AVG,
fucking hard.
Throw it at it. Go download AVG and throw it at it, because the government's brilliant.
But I get you can't exactly upload government data to Virus Total, but, I mean...
You say that.
Yeah, I know.
But the next big leak comes from...
Yeah, that'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? So,
yes.
Well, actually, they said they thought Kaspersky was actually giving people backdoor into some government machines, so I don't know how true that is, because Kaspersky disputes it, and I know that there's a whole anti-Russia thing going on right now. But, anyways, where was I? Specialists don't know exactly how far the virus has spread. They're sure that the infection has hit both classified and unclassified machines at Greek. Oh, perfect. Grab one of your unclassified machines and upload that shit to Virus Total and see what the hell it is.
You're trying to use logic on a government institution, Morphs.
Why do you think I gave up trying to get a job with them?
multiple strokes?
Well, that... that raises the possibility, at least, that secret data may have been captured by the keylogger and then transmitted over the public internet to someone outside military chain of command. Well, Hillary did that. Nobody gave a shit, so I mean, what's the big deal? Drones have become America's tool of choice for its conventional and shadow wars, allowing U.S. forces to attack targets and spy on its foes without risking American lives. Since President Obama assumed office, a fleet of approximately 30 CIA-directed drones have hit targets in Pakistan more than 230 times. Wait, why was the CIA running these?
Because retarded?
Shouldn't that be like the military, not the CIA? Anyways,
yep, it should be the military.
These drones have killed more than 2,000 suspected militants and civilians, according to the Washington Post. More than 150 additional Predator and Reaper drones under the U.S. Air Force control watch over fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, blah, 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 we've killed lots of people with them, blah, 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 drones are terrible war weapons of war, and, you know, nobody likes
them. That's the new angle of it. We didn't shoot those civilians, that was a computer virus. Completely unrelated to us.
No. You didn't recompute the base hash. It was a virus attack. It's the virus.
It was that hacker 4chan.
Oh, God.
He killed all those civilians.
I don't want to imagine 4chan getting access.
So the lion's share of U.S. drone missions are flown by Air Force pilots stationed at Creek, a tiny outpost in the Barren. How do you want me to say that state's name?
Nevada?
Thank you. Desert, 20 miles north of a state prison and adjacent to a one-story casino.
Well, that is wonderful Nevada. Information we all need.
It is probably a trailer.
That's important. Put the casino in.
It's right next to the one-story casino.
In a nondescript building, down to a largely unmarked hallway. largely unmarked. Somebody drew a dick on the wall. There are a series of rooms, each with a rack of servers and ground control station, or GCS. There are a drone pilot and a sensor operator sit in their flight suits in front of a series of screens. They need flight suits in front of a computer.
It's like playing World of Warships with a fucking, Admiral cap on or something like that.
In the pilot's hand is the joystick guiding the drone as it soars above Afghanistan, Iraq, or some other. Do they get the good Warthog thrustmasters, or what kind of joystick are they using?
Looking at the picture at the top, there's a trackball mouse, so I'm going to go with no.
Oh shit, no! That's a I recognize that joystick. That's they've been making those things for years. I can't think what their name is.
Thrustmaster.
No, it's not Thrustmaster. Damn it.
Nerd.
They make really ugly looking joysticks that last forever.
You sure it's not Thrustmaster?
Okay, well, no, because Thrustmasters don't usually last forever.
Stromo makes joysticks. Isn't it a Stromo joystick?
They're owned by Logitech. No. It's a, I can't think of it now. Son of a bitch. Flight sim joysticks. I'm going to have to Google it and find the name. DH Products.
God. Oh, the CH Flight Stick Pro.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Right,
yeah, I'm sure the military spared no expense and got a CH Flight Stick Pro. It's probably got an internal chip that keeps loading the malware in there.
Well, those things have the good ones have a magnet sensor. I can't think what the hell it's called now. Yeah, my brain's not working. Obviously, I need more alcohol or less, and I'm not certain which. So,
yes.
Why are we examining that so closely? Pentagon is still disinfecting machines 3 years later. Okay, about the time of the so-called air gaps, blah, 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 blah. So the use of drives is now strictly restricted throughout the military, but at the base at Creech, there was one of the exceptions until the virus hit. Predator and Reaper crews use removable hard drives to load map updates and transport mission videos from one computer to another. The virus is believed to have spread through these removable drives. Drone units at other Air Force bases worldwide have now been ordered to stop their use. In the meantime, technicians at Creech are trying to get the virus off the GCS machines. It has not been easy. At first, they followed removal instructions posted to the website of the Kaspersky Security Firm, the one they're saying not to use. But the virus kept coming back. That's a source familiar with the infection says. Eventually, his technician used a software tool called BC Wipe to completely erase the internal hard drives. Well, why not just use Derek's boot nuke? Why do you got to go use some weird ass thing?
Because the hackers know that one. We need to use something different.
And that meant rebuilding them from scratch, a time consuming effort. Because nobody thought to image the fucking machines? Really?
Again, logic, government agency.
We got to set up all this software. We got to do all this. So why don't you make a backup? A what now?
You could have phoned it in and showed up one day a week and gotten a job with them, blowing them out of the water. I mean, the aneurysms wouldn't help, but
after a while, you'd probably get used to them and stop caring so much.
Yeah.
We invest a lot in protecting and monitoring our systems, counter threats, and ensure security, but they suck at it, apparently. It's getting a lot of attention, but nobody's panicking yet. Okay. Yeah. So that story needs to be combined with this next one from Engadget. And I think just for fun, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the link in the chat room. And there you go. So if one of you guys just wants to read that headline after we read the last one, just to...
The rise of drone crime and how cops can stop it.
So combine that with the theft of military drones via computer viruses.
Wow.
It was supposed to be an easy $1,000 job. All 25-year-old Jorg Edwin Rivera had to do was pilot a drone carrying a lunchbox filled with 13 pounds of methamphetamine from one side of the U.S.-Mexican border to the other. Why meth? There's like so much of that stuff already.
Because all the bordering states have legalized weed. Doesn't matter to them anymore.
What happened to cocaine? I thought that was what you wanted coming up from the South. Anyways, what he didn't count on was Border Patrol agents spotting the UAV in flight and tracking it back to his hiding spot 2,000 yards from the National Divide. This isn't the first time the smugglers have used commercially available drones to carry contraband. In 2015, Border Patrol caught two people dropping off 28 pounds of heroin in Calexico, California, and in the same year caught another drug ring delivering 30 pounds of cannabis to San Luis, Arizona. Drones, easy to fly, difficult to spot, and far more practical than catapults.
Trebuchets are better.
Far more, you get a bit more distance.
We did do the article about catapults. I forgot about that. I think it was on IHN.
Probably.
Are quickly gaining favor among criminals for everything from smuggling and snooping to actively countering police actions and intimidating the locals. Actually, drone blades will cut your finger off, so I can see that being intimidating. One of those things comes flying at you. It's like, what's that? That's called a flying buzzsaw.
Now it's more C4.
But as criminals become more tech-heavy, so must law enforcement. The use of drones appears to be on the horizon, U.S. District Court Judge Gonzalo Curiel noted while sentencing Brian Bale in 2016 to 3 years for heroin smuggling. For it needs to be clear, these cases present considerable danger to our community. Ban the drones! Good morning, Wham, Your Honor. The criminal UAV issue is not limited to America by any means. Police in the UK received 3,456 incident reports of drones behaving badly in 2016. What, were they getting drunk and hitting on women? I mean, come on. What do you mean behaving badly?
I just imagine somebody with a noose rolled up newspaper hitting a drone.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, a DJI on, like, a drunken bender getting a gun and trying to rob a convenience store. I mean,
one of them pissed on the carpet and the other one didn't leave a sufficient tip when it went out to eat.
What'd they do? Put angry looking googly eyes and a red bandana on the thing? I mean, come on. A threefold jump from 2015. Well, no shit, they're getting cheaper. And a 12-fold increase since 2014, an equivalent to 10 complaints a day. Incident ranged from minor spats between neighbors to covertly dropping drugs and firearms into prisons. Okay, dropping guns into prisons might not end well.
Depends who gets to it first.
The photographer even managed to set his camera drone down aboard Britain's biggest warship, the HMS Queen Elizabeth, in the area of consequence. As the photographer told the BBC, I could have been anybody. It was like a ghost ship. I would say my mistake. Yeah, sure, it was a mistake. should open their eyes to a glaring gap in security. This was a bit of tomfoolery, but it could have been something terrible. Not just for the ship or its crew, for the people because you could have had C4 on there and just blown up the ship, right? The situation isn't better in Australia. Australian law enforcement snapped 7 suspects for their attempt to smuggle 92 kilos of cocaine into the country.
Criminal ring. What the fuck is the range on that drone?
I don't know. It's like Australia, so it's like a continent. But the criminal ring wasn't using the drones to mule the drugs ashore from the port of Melbourne bound container ship. No. They used the drones to counter-surveil the police who were monitoring them. It just didn't work out as well as they had hoped. So they were using drones to watch for cops.
So did they not understand that Australia has big swaths of, like, unmanned waterfront. It's like, just go fucking drop it there on some random beach. No one's gonna go there until you come and pick up your container ship full of cocaine.
Sard, what are you drinking?
I've got Shock Top.
That works. How do you feel about criminals using drones to smuggle drugs?
It's bad and gray.
Okay, now combine that with the previous article that we did about a military base.
Computer viruses, U.S. Predator and Reaper drone fleet.
Getting viruses.
Versus the rise of drone crime and how cops can stop it. Sounds like Cards Against Humanity titles.
A little bit.
So anyways, I don't feel like reading the rest of this article. It's long. But they're basically advertising RF jammers and other things to knock the drones out of the sky.
Which is retarded, like, because like model airplanes have been in use for fucking decades. But
I'm pretty sure you could sell an air rifle to these assholes as an anti-drone gun and, like, you know, three times the cost. Like, literally, buy it from Walmart, you put a sticker on it, and you hand it to them.
They have the ones that shoot a net and stuff that are anti-drone. All that.
Yeah, I'm like, so... It's like the first article. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like Fox said, model airplanes and shit have been around forever. I don't know why this is just now a problem.
Because you can just buy them and fly them. They don't take the kind of skill that a model helicopter or a model plane took to fly. Or even a racing drone, for that matter. I wrecked mine several times and had to 3D print new parts because I broke it.
Yeah.
So... Anyways, next article is from Torrent Freak, just following up on the PureVPN story we did last week. After several days of radio silence, VPN provider PureVPN has responded to criticism that it provided information which helped the FBI catch a cyber stalker. In a fairly lengthy post, the company reiterates that it never logs user activity. What it does do is log IP addresses of users accessing its service. So
that's fucking logs.
Yes, it is. In early October, Ryan S. Lynn, 24, of Newton, Massachusetts, was arrested on suspicion of conducting an extensive cyber-stalking campaign against a 24-year-old Massachusetts woman, as well as her family members and friends. Department of Justice described Lynn's offenses as multifaceted computer hacking and cyber-stalking campaign. Launched in April 2016, when he began hacking the victim's online accounts, Lynn allegedly obtained personal photographs and sensitive information about her medical and sexual histories and distributed that information to hundreds of other people. Despite what information the FBI compiled on Lynn that can be found in the earlier report, or details of what, but aside from alleged crimes, which were both significant and repugnant, it was PureVPN's involvement in the case that caused the most controversy. You are actually correct. This is damage control, and they did a lousy job of it. Yeah, no, this is the guy who was doxing this chick and making all kinds of threats in her name, and he may have done bomb threats in her name. I don't remember now. Anyways, in a report compiled by the FBI special agent, it was revealed that the Hong Kong-based company's logs helped authorities net the alleged criminal. Significantly, PureVPN was able to determine that their service was accessed by the same customer from two originating IP addresses, the RCN IP address of the home he was living in at the time and the software company where he was employed at the time, the agent's affidavit reads. Among many in the privacy community, this revelation was met with disappointment because on PureVPN's website, the company claims they carry no logs and on a general basis that it's expected that no logging VPN provider should provide people with some anonymity, at least as far as their service goes. Now, several days after the furor, company has responded to its critics. In a fairly lengthy statement, the company begins by confirming that it definitely doesn't log what websites a user views or what content he or she downloads. PureVPN did not breach its privacy policy and certainly did not breach your trust. No browsing logs, no browsing habits, or anything else was or shall ever be shared, the company writes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bullshit. If you say you don't blogs, then you shouldn't keep fucking logs at all.
So, okay, first and foremost, this guy's a scumbag, and he deserves to be in jail. So, I don't want to defend him at all. at least if he's guilty of what he's accused of. But yeah, it's just false advertising on PureVPN's part because
yeah, they're just a shit VPN company. Don't use them.
That's only half the problem. While it does not log user activity, it does log the IP addresses that customers use to access the service. And given the right circumstances, these can be matched to external activities thanks to log carries by other web companies. So I'm just going to summarize it. What they do is they record, this IP address connection was assigned to this IP. So, you know, they have a record of what IP address you had. So if somebody comes at you and says, hey, we need to know who logged into Gmail at this time, PureVPN can come back and say what the real IP was, which kind of defeats the fucking point. Anyways, the article goes on talking about timestamps and explains that a little bit more verbosely and how PureVPN never said anything about it. And then they call out that private internet access was actually proven to not carry logs because apparently the FBI went to them a couple of years ago and they were like, yeah, we got nothing. I'm sorry. We can't help you. Which sucks because it means somebody probably got away with something. But at the same time, it does mean that they were doing exactly what they were saying. That article, which I can't find anymore, but that article about how they told the FBI, sorry, we can't help you, is actually one of the reasons that I started using private internet access for my VPN. That's who I use if anybody's curious. Because they actually had an article, but I thought at the time it might have been something made up, so their press put out just to kind of sell the service. But shit, I mean, you know, if the FBI goes to them and is, you know, sorry, but we really don't have any logs, we can't help you. I'm certain though, if they get the warrant, they'd put a monitor on accounts if they suspected you. But that would mean they'd have to know enough to suspect you. So, Cycro says PIA is good and proxy.sh is good too. I've not used proxy.sh. And I also know several people who are using, TorGuard, and they said that it was good for them, too. I've not used it, but they liked it, so.
I've used that.
You've used TorGuard? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
It's been fun, okay.
But yeah, the de-anonymizing the service that you're purchasing to be anonymous would be completely defeating what you're purchasing.
Well, and you know, there's a point that law enforcement had was asking for it. Now they don't say whether they had a warrant or not. Let's assume they had a warrant. I don't like that they de-anonymized it, that they were keeping the logs even though they said they weren't. But if they have the logs and it is a warrant, I mean, I don't guess that's such a bad thing. But
if they had
the logs,
they had to do it.
Yeah.
But if your entire purpose as a company is to anonymize people, you shouldn't have the logs.
Ah, that's why Cycros likes proxy.sh. You can actually pay it in cryptocurrency and don't have to tell them who you actually are. I like it. Ooh, anybody been paying attention to Bitcoin? That thing shot way up here lately. So,
which coin did you say?
Bitcoin hit almost 6,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ethereum shot up too, didn't it?
All of them did. White coins up 60 bucks.
Ethereum is floating around at 307. And it looks like it hit 314 today. And Bitcoin is currently sitting at 5,674. And it got up to 730 earlier today. So
crazy.
I know I made some money off of it. Anyways.
Expensive socks. Very expensive socks.
Expensive socks.
Yeah. We know somebody that purchased socks using Bitcoin when it was like $40 a pop.
Yeah. Shit. That's back when they were trying to convince people that it was actually a...
money.
Yeah. Not a commodity. So...
I remember talking about it on here and thinking it was like sketchy as fuck when it first came out.
Oh god, wouldn't it have been great to have spent like $20 when it was like $2 or $3 a pop and just left
it? Or when
it
was like below a cent per Bitcoin?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It was like less than a penny a Bitcoin, spend $2 and then just try to cash it in now.
You occasionally see some people post on like the financial advice forums basically saying they did that. You know,
they found an old hard drive that had like 2,000 Bitcoin on it.
And now I realize I'm a millionaire. What do I do with this? And, you know. So.
The first thing you do is you try to cash that sucker out.
Yeah, no shit. Get the money out of Bitcoin and get it into something less volatile. So. Yeah, Psychros is talking about Ripple. When we get to Dojo, I got something for you, Psychros. You'll enjoy this. Anyways, next up is an article on Samsung's mobile press website. I'm not going to read it verbatim because it's mostly marketing speak, and they're talking about how wonderful they are for using DeX. I have a DeX dock for my phone, and it's pretty cool. It basically gives you a desktop Android interface, which is nice. They are playing around with they don't provide a lot of details. They are playing around with the ability to let you run full Linux. It's either in a container or a VM. If it's a container that's been done, you can root your phone already and do it. And that's cool. But, Psychros is making tons of money off that. Nice. So if it's a container, that's cool that they have an officially supported version, so you don't necessarily have to root your phone. I personally discovered that rooting your phone really fucks with some of your security software that when you have to deal with corporate security stuff. So, if it's an officially supported way to get a true root, that's kind of cool. The other thing it might be doing is a VM and a flat out VM on your phone running Linux. That's going to be nice. It'll have to be Linux because it's still ARM, but combine that with their DeX dock and now you can dock your phone and have like a full Ubuntu desktop or something. I mean, that's pretty cool. And I know a lot of companies have been working towards that for a long time, so I think they can pull it off. Because I've been playing with a... I can talk about it. I got a Note 8. And I got a really good trade-in on it. So it's like I basically paid $200 for the phone. It worked out really nice. Yeah. And I really like the phone. It's unfortunately got a bunch of tracking shit in it, so I've been slowly whittling that down, but I don't want to go too crazy with it because I do use it for work, and their security software goes nuts if your phone is more secure than their settings. So root it and pull all the shit out of it and all that stuff. But anyway, some of the toys with it are neat, and like I said, the DeX dock is actually pretty cool. But the DeX dock is nice because you get a full interface, but it's a dock and it's not the most. It's kind of an awkward setup on the phone because you've got to take the phone out of the case and you got to have a screen, keyboard, and mouse to hook it up to, and that's kind of... I think the best use for the DeX dock is going to be traveling because you can hook it up to a TV because it's just an HDMI. And, like
that
a
makes
Bluetooth,
sense.
Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. And honestly, it's so you can watch Netflix on a hotel TV. Let's be real.
Well, I was going to say, it's still an ARM processor. I don't think you're going to be doing heavy hitting on that.
I don't know, dude. This thing's got more horsepower than that Ultrabook I bought 4 years ago. Quad-core, 2 gigahertz processor,
really?
6 gigs of RAM. I mean, shit.
Wow.
So, like I said, playing around with the DeX dock, it's not slow. So, anyways, I like the concept. I think it's cool. They were showing Windows running on DeX too, but that was actually an Amazon. It was just a raw desktop to an Amazon workspace. So.
Yeah. That's different. I've heard of
cool.
doing that before. Yeah.
Partly because I have the phone and I really want to see that happen because then I can have a portable Linux desktop.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I guess that would be called a laptop, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Oh wait, I might have a few of those.
Do you really want this? You'll be able to work from the woods at one point.
You know, I've already done that. I have been in the store getting groceries and sitting there dealing with a spam attack on my fucking phone. So I mean, work-life balance. What the hell is that? Anyways, next article is from Gizmodo. X-Hamster is hell-bent on war with its own porn-watching AI. Last week, Pornhub announced that it had started implementing machine learning in its service, and that an AI that loves nothing more than watching porn and analyzing it to identify porn stars. Not wanting to be outdone, X-Hamster has revealed that it, too, has a porn-addicted AI, and it's totally the best one around.
Oh, jeez. Because that matters.
We're teaching them robots well.
At least if one of these AIs is the first one to become sentient, it's a lot better than one in charge of drones.
Hey, what happened to that sentient robot? Oh, he's still over there jerking off in the corner. It's all good. It's all day long.
Wait a minute. How is it jerking off? It's a robot. Well, it found a dildo, and it's some super glue.
Yeah, it learned what to do with it.
That's better than what I was going to go with. Well, it found Larry.
Oh, God. No, it found a toaster.
Doesn't it have, like, claw hands? Poor Larry.
It found Larry and Sally, and it's just being, like, Barbie dolls with it, acting out.
Clang, 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 clang.
Let's see. This. Clang, clang, clang. The site claims it is the first company to offer an AI with fully functional facial recognition using facial and hair color recognition technology to aid people in their search for new videos. God, this is hard to do with a straight read. Saying it's the first doesn't quite seem accurate, since Pornhub's AI is also doing the same thing, though Xhamster is focusing on the AI as a tool for improving search capabilities, while Pornhub's is all about correctly tagging and categorizing the videos. Despite the difference in explanation, the author believes both have the same eventual outcome. What Xhamsters has done, however, is a much bigger database scan of AI scanned videos. Apparently, the bot has already indexed a million videos and can recognize 30,000 performers. Pornhub's can only identify 10,000 stars at the moment, with half a million videos already indexed. While it promises to scan the entire 5 million strong library in the next 12 months, it seems a little bit behind at the moment. Xhamster has promised journalists and anyone willing to check out the superiority of its search system, and even challenged Pornhub to prove its system was better. Apparently, they shrunk away from the challenge, so don't expect there to be any porn-based AI wars quite yet. Still, it's probably not far off, and hopefully they're too busy watching porn to do any major fighting. So,
I'm kind of waiting for this to get leaked somewhere, and somehow, like, you know, getting integrated with Facebook, so, you know, somebody takes a picture with Grandma, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, Kelly Sucks Dick 69, and, like, links to liked videos.
God. Yeah, I see. They're like, what? They don't recognize the privates? There was an AI for that. What was it? Snapchat? It was chat roulette. It was chat roulette that was trying to do an automatic dick detector.
Oh, yeah, that's just because so many people had their junk out on chat roulette.
Well, you know, if you want to flash a minor.
I thought that was the point of chat roulette.
I think you're thinking of Chatterbait.
Where else are
you going
to show your dick? 4chan. 4chan. Yeah, and there's rock bottom. Okay.
With 4chan, there has to be a nail through it.
We all know that's not rock bottom. So, anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious that they're writing bots to watch porn to ID the movie stars. So
yeah, does that really matter? Like, am I only one who doesn't give a shit?
I mean, if you want to beat off to a specific porn star, I guess it might be important.
I suppose it could be the human interest thing. Like, you know, you see an article in the news about, you know, some porn actress who was killed in a car crash, or maybe you hear an article about how some big Hollywood celeb used to be a porn star. I mean, I could see the facial recognition being kind of useful there on just more of the novelty aspect of it. But yeah, I don't think most people actually care who's on camera, as long as they're, like, you know, not ugly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is something they could have had their community do. Hey guys, when you're done rubbing one out, please identify the chick you beat off to. Thank you.
It was like a capture.
And that would go out of business very quickly. Better they'd be hiring those Indian CAPTCHA solver guys to. Yeah. Oh, there you go. What about, was it Amazon's Mechanical Turk? Why not use that?
Oh God, those are actual people. How much shyster porn can somebody watch before they blow their brains out?
I just assume that's how the tags there, you know, before they had the AI. Just someone, they hired interns to sit down.
They went on Fiverr.
They watched this. Who the fuck is this, you know?
They went on Fiverr. They had to, you know, read the title of the porn movie. You know, just see if it's listed out in the names. Oh, shit. Be like when PewDiePie went on Fiverr and had people holding up Kill the Jews signs or something. He got in a lot of trouble for that, if I remember right.
He still has more money than all of us. He's fine.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, let's button. Here's the button. I said here's the button. Why is it not playing?
Hit the button?
I'm trying to hit the button. It's not
identifying
playing.
The button doesn't mean it's, you know, been pressed.
Oh, I see the problem. Hang on. We gotta fix it. I sort of forgot to rewind the track when we were playing with it earlier. So I was hitting the button. It was just the end of the track. So, first thing I have for today is a link on GitHub to a Crack Attack Test API. For anybody who's been living under a rock, there is a new attack against WPA2 that the short version of it is if they observe the key handshake, it is possible to insert packets to force the client to use, if they're on Linux or unpatched Android, all zeros as the encryption key. They'll basically force it into clear text and the user thinks they're doing encrypted traffic. But apparently this key injection attack works across the board on everything. Like, everything needs a patch. Your router, your access points, your endpoints, your clients, your phones. Anything with a Wi-Fi chip in it apparently needs a patch. So anybody who wasn't paying attention, and patch your shit. And it also means, because all the clients need patches, we're going to be finding vulnerable machines from now until the end of time. So, bully for that. Anyways, this is a tool for testing your access point to see if you're vulnerable to the crack attack. So really what this is for doing is when you get a firmware patch from, you know, Netgear, Linksys, or whoever, and they say, hey, we fixed it, you can actually verify that they fixed it. Because this is not performing the attack. You actually have to give it the login to your router, or the login to your Wi-Fi network, and it'll just try to do the key injection part. It's not actually doing the attack. The actual attack script has not been published yet. There's a conference they're going to publish it at, so... But everybody else in the world has talked about it, so I didn't really think it was necessary for me to also talk about it. But you watch for rogue APs and maybe have anybody on Wi-Fi also using a VPN just to be safe for now, because we're basically back at the day when WEP was broken.
Yep.
Oops. Except we don't have WPA3, so yeah, there's that. So everything needs patched right now. Wi-Fi is not to be trusted ever. And and then the final thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is on Hackaday. Somebody figured out how to run the MetaTrader robot on a Raspberry.
What's MetaTrader?
MetaTrader is a trading platform for the Forex cryptocurrency exchange.
Okay.
So it's for trading Monero, Bitcoin, Ethereum, any of them, and it's a platform for doing these crypto trades, and MetaTrader is a interface for that you can use to make a bot. So the rest of the article talks about using the Extra Gear desktop package for Raspi, which lets you run x86 code on the Raspi. It's still Linux code, but they said it even works with Wine, so you could potentially run, say, older Windows programs or Windows games, lightweight stuff, on Wine on Exagear on a Raspberry.
That's cool.
So I'm kind of thinking about building a Raspberry to be the broadcast box if I can get TeamSpeak and some of the audio routing working on it. I'm mostly kidding. It would be kind of fun to get it working, though. A little portable broadcast system. Maybe leave out the whole TeamSpeak part and then I wouldn't even need Exit Gear. Just run Mix on it and like a mixer and microphones for like when we have meetups and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, instead of the tote of crap?
Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't know. I was flashing back to the apartment setup the first time we did that.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, too. Well, I mean, it's like we were talking about before the show. I've been reinventing how we do this stuff so often, and I've pretty much got it down to where it's not quite so crazy. I could actually do, like, two smartphones. I could probably make it work fairly well, truth be told, at this point. So, or, like, a smartphone and an iPad or something. And just, you know, the real problem is TeamSpeak needs its own dedicated audio interface, and so I end up having to do hardware routing. So, anyways, but yeah, so yeah, this is designed for using Exagear to run MetaTrader 4, so you can build a Bitcoin trading bot on a Raspberry, which I thought was pretty cool. And Exagear is also so interesting,
it's
not
one
free.
Of those bots that you set thresholds on, and like, yeah, hey, when this coin gets to this, then trade it for this. Okay, yeah, that makes sense though.
Yeah, I've actually been using GDAX, and it's kind of built into that one where you can go do limit trades. Hmm. So you combine that with a notification app on your phone to tell you when one of the currencies has hit that value, and yeah, you're pretty much good to go. So that's at least how I'm doing it for a fairly manual setup. I'd like to do a bot at some point just to take that extra step out of it. Also, be certain not to link a bank account to any trading that's going on with a bot, because you'll be like, it's like, oh look, the bot fucked up and traded all of your money and now you're broke.
All of your money ever. Yeah,
it's like, what happened? Well, it decided to buy out Dogecoin. It's like, what?
All of it. Its entire market share.
All of the Dogecoin.
All of it.
Dogecoin's value immediately went to zero. You're fucked. Sir, we took the internet class currency and made it, that was worth one of itself, and now it's now worth zero of itself. Oh God, how many people would pull the Wall Street jumping off of the roof or out the window if Bitcoin was suddenly worth zero?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
For science.
I wonder if anyone's figured out which ones move in tandem and how close.
Bitcoin seems to be an indicator for the rest of the cryptocurrency market. So Bitcoin will be your leader, and then everything else usually trails it. And usually by a few hours.
Okay.
At least with Ethereum and Litecoin. So,
that's one thing a lot of micro traders do with actual stocks. Like a Pepsi and Coke move in tandem. So if one moves up, you know the other one's going to move up, and you buy it, and you buy several shares if you have the cash. Then after it moves up, you sell it, and you're making generally a few cents, but if you were able to buy dozens of shares, it works out to making money. And then if you see one move down, you do the same thing with the other, just sell it, and then purchase it again at the lower price.
Well, it's interesting.
There are a few other stocks that do that.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's you know, sometimes you have these leading indicators and sometimes you don't. And, you know, Bitcoin is like, well, of all the cryptocurrencies, you know, there's really only a couple of ways they get value put into them. It's either like mining the value or new people coming in and wanting to buy it instead of mine it. And, I don't know. It's I think it's probably throwing a lot of economic models in the toilet is what it's actually doing. Just because it's moving in such weird scales and people aren't, you might say that people are not acting rationally with it, so whatever.
Right.
If I can use it and ride a couple of the waves and make a few extra bucks on the side, hey, why not? You know? Like, I think I've put all of, like, $100 in, and I've made more than that back. Actually pulled $200 out the other day, so.
Yeah, with its current price, I've actually made money on the hardware, graphics cards and things like that that I originally bought for mining and stuff, yeah. ASICs and all that. I've made money now.
I've got a couple of old ASICs still stuffed in the corner from when I was running it on a Raspberry like 3 years ago, and I've got a few other. I got an old machine stuffed full of video cards. Every video card I had laying around. I've yet to actually, you know, install an OS on that box and do anything with it. But it's sitting in the corner. It's ready to go. I just, you know, haven't done anything with it yet because I'm lazy. Maybe I'll set it up this weekend. I'm not terribly happy with it. I'm sure it'll overheat. But
take the side off and point a box fan at it.
Well, that might be what ends up happening to make it work.
Phased cooling with Dr. Pepper.
Now, I told you that story in oh, God. Years ago.
Never said it was you doing it.
Years ago, a friend of mine built his first computer. It's an AMD K62 400 megahertz processor. And it did not come with a heatsink. And because it did not come with a heatsink, he did not think he needed one.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, he had me come over late one evening to help him build this machine, and so we're sitting there putting this stuff together, and he said he can't figure out what's wrong with it. It keeps crashing, and I'm poking through his Windows install and all this other stuff. And finally, I say, well, let's pop open the case and see what's going on here. For one thing, his video card wasn't fully seated, so that was easy. You know, that was a fix, and you ended up smacking it, and you just hear ka-thunk. It's like, oh, well, I got that. And then I noticed there's no heatsink on his processor. Like, dude, where's the heatsink? Oh, it didn't come with one, so it doesn't need it. No, you need a heatsink. Yeah, you need a heatsink. So ultimately, what we came up with was we took a couple of empty Coke cans, like three at one point, filled them with water, stuck them in the freezer. And then with a combination of paper towels to keep condensation under control and these frozen, you know, Dr. Pepper cans, we phase change cooled his machine to get it working the rest of the evening till the next day when he'd go buy a heatsink to put on it. And it worked.
Awesome.
It worked. He got Final Fantasy VII running on that machine with us every about 10 minutes switching the Coke can on it, wiping it down, putting a new one on, and trying to keep an eye on it.
Wow.
Stupid as balls, and it worked. I don't know how we didn't destroy that machine.
They knew how to make processors back then. Hardy. Stupid as fuck, but hardy.
Anyways, so that's all I've really got for tonight. Listen to the stream, we're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, this Galaxy 15 radio site, which is really just an interface for the IRC, the subreddit, which is probably the easiest way to get a hold of us, and BSV, closing thoughts.
I don't know. Sorry.
Didn't even use the catchphrase, so I mean, what a fail.
I think I shouldn't have used a pint glass of mostly rum to mix that drink in.
Is that not how you make rum and coke?
It's like, so the way I make a rum and coke is I take the rum, I take the coke, I put the coke back in the refrigerator.
Oh yes, but I normally don't use a pint glass for my rum glass.
See, at that point I just don't bother with the glass. Like, it's already in a perfectly good bottle. Fox, closing thoughts.
I have nothing.
See, there it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different catchphrase.
Apparently keep flash drives away from the military. Let them play WoW on their own computers, or, you know, at least, like, BYOD into the drone hub where they're wearing their flight helmets and flight suits and they're all, like, fucking blazing Top Gun in the background.
No, I've just got this picture of a guy in a full flight suit with the helmet and the radio sitting at a desk with the CH Products joystick.
Yep. Exactly what I'm going for.
In Danger Zone blazing on the radio in the background.
Yep.
Oh shit. Madman, closing thoughts.
The next thing that's gonna it's gonna infest the Predator Jones. The AI porn star identifier. There's just gonna be massive rockets throughout LA and Florida.
Oh, there's all of gonna these be massive rockets, all right.
Blown up.
and Drone Strike is going to take on a whole new meaning, and a subgenre of porn is born.
Like, is that a missile going right up her ass? I mean, my God. It's like, you got to watch for it. It's quick. They play it in slow motion for a reason. That's fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's a terrible. Sard, closing thoughts.
I watched a hilarious YouTube video of this guy that presented at DEF CON 17. His name is Jason Scott, and the talk was entitled "That Awesome Time I Was Sued for $2 billion." And oh, yes, he was. Literally, yeah, sued for $2 billion.
That's
it is
the guy
a hilarious
who runs textfiles.com. Did they sue him because of the image on MySpace?
No, it's a book that he hosted that some dude gave away for free and then later retracted it from the internet, like you can do that.
Yeah,
and then
that works
came
so well
back
for Beyonce.
Yeah, and because he kept it up on his site because it says right on the fucking published book, you know, it's free. This guy has spent I don't know how many thousands of dollars suing him and several years trying to sue him for, like I said, literally for $2 billion. The guy's batshit insane. It's a really funny talk.
Yeah, I always heard about Jason Scott because he used to host a bunch of random pictures on his website too, and somebody that people used to put together MySpace themes, and they would just link the pictures on his website and steal his bandwidth, right? So he got tired of it. And he had one particular picture, was like a picture of the Reaper that looked really cool that people were using as a MySpace background. So he swapped it out for Goatsy.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He has a funny ass personality. Like the stuff that he does to fuck with people.
I met him at DerbyCon, and yeah, he was a good shit. I liked him.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
And the way he got some of the articles he's published, because he got emails from people demanding he put the picture back up. He got accused of hacking people's MySpaces for this because they installed some theme that was just referencing his pictures, right?
Yeah.
And
now it's everywhere on their MySpace.
He had multiple people threatening to sue him because they were linking to his picture. And it's nice. Like, how do you explain to somebody that stupid that what they're doing is they are taking your resources? Because, yeah, he got all kinds of angry emails demanding he put it back.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. The dude's been sued a whole bunch, and just the way he's always a good sort about it, it seems like, and he really just not give a fuck and fucks with them back. It's
well, especially
like I said,
if you
seems
know
like a funny
you're
guy.
In the right. I mean, come on. Like, you know you're in the right, and somebody, you know, and you have all these people making MySpace themes linking to your pictures. I mean, come on. Or like hosting the text file that somebody gave away for free. So.
Yep, exactly.
Textfiles.com. He's got all kinds of good shit on there. A bunch of the old write-ups from the old BBS days. All the write-ups of how to make the different boxes for like the old freaking stuff. All that's up there.
Yep.
Not that most of that stuff works today, because most of it doesn't. But it's interesting historically.
Yeah. I watched another talk he gave at DEF CON 7, just talking about textfiles.com and like why he's did it, and just like some of his favorite text files that he has up there. It's another good one. But yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, go look up the Blotto box sometime if you want to hear one that's fucking hilarious. One of my favorite ones. It was a circuit. It was a tone generator circuit that would make something like, you know, a 500 decibel tone down the wire. And
nice. So
in the old days before digital trunking and switching, it was a flat electrical connection from your phone to theirs. So if you got a telemarketer and you know they were wearing a headset, and you blasted 500 decibels down the line, guess what you just did? So yeah, I'll have to watch that talk. He usually gives good talks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's all we got. Do we miss anybody on the we're not allowed to call it future news. So I was like, I don't know why you keep saying that. It's a joke. Anyways. Where's the thing? Nope, that's
red boxing still works.
I can't find the right button. Bitch.
Just keep hitting buttons.
I don't want to be fed into a wood chipper.
There it is.